Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Well, we start with the news of the election because following months of speculation on Taoiseach Simon Harris will travel to the Oras today to request that President Michael D. Higgins dissolves the 33rd Dáil. Alison O'Connor, columnist with The Examiner, is with me here in the studio. Pat Leahy, political editor with The Irish Times, is on the line. So, Pat, the election will be called today. We know that much. There's a bit of choreography to the day. So what's going to happen?
Yeah, Simon Harris is currently in Budapest, meeting of EU leaders. He's going to leave that early, I think. And he is expected back in Dublin about lunchtime. He'll go to government buildings from Baldonnell. He'll make a statement to the media at government buildings. That's, I think, likely to happen about 1:30, 2:00 or so. And then he will go out to Oras an Uachtaráin, where he will request a dissolution of the Dáil from President Michael D. Higgins. When the President grants that dissolution, that is the point at which this Dáil is no more, even though they will describe themselves as such. There are no TDs after today. There are only candidates for the 34th Dáil. The government continues in office, of course, until it is replaced by a vote of the next Dáil, but there'll be no TDs. And I think after that, Simon Harris is going to do a bit of canvassing, probably somewhere nearby Oras an Uachtaráin, and then he is going to the match in Lansdowne Road later on, where I presume there'll be more canvassing, possibly some social media content generated.
No doubt.
And there's even talk of something going on afterwards, after the match at the on Lansdowne Road.
All right.
So he'll be busy.
Anyone who's been on the roads this morning, Alison, will have seen there are plenty of posters up. Not allowed, strictly speaking, but they are. They're already there in anticipation. We had Fionn Sheehan here yesterday, and he was talking about the fact that Roderick O'Gorman, the Green Party leader, named the date first. Then you had Micheál Martin on Virgin Media News confirming the date before Simon Harris got to do so on the 6-1. And it was Fionn's contention, for a man who's known to be good at PR, that they stole a march on him there, really. Do you think there's anything in that?
I think there's an element of kind of handbags and elbows about that. And you've seen how they've managed to get under Micheál Martin's skin a bit on the whole age thing.
And tetchiness.
And tetchiness. You see, but what I find fascinating about this is that we've had situations before. And just to go back for a minute, you're saying on the posters thing, I travelled through a lot of Dublin Bay South coming out here, and you're quite right. Interestingly, though, not Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. Labour in that constituency, Labour, the Sock Dems, and the Greens. But now, obviously, the two bigger parties are sticking to the letter of the law.
I want to know about that. I saw plenty of Micheál Martin's face this morning on my way in.
And for all the talk we've had as well about what Simon Harris is at, as I understand it, Micheál Martin was in Baggot Street Bridge this morning canvassing, and will be going around Ranelagh and Dundrum. But what I think is very interesting about this, and what is different, is we've had situations before where you've had a bigger party and a smaller party coming out of a government. They've been in coalition, and whether explicitly or more loosely, there's this idea that that they'd be happy to get back in. This time, we know this, there isn't going to be explicit, as I know it, you know, asking for transfers, but they saw the transfers in June. They're hoping that's what will happen now. But here you have two similar sized parties and both fighting afterwards to be top dog. So how do they manage that between them? Even in political debates, Micheál Martin and Simon Harris, where they, they can't necessarily go at each other hammer and tongs and then say, we'll do a really good job when we get back into government. But yet, how do they differentiate that they're two different parties, mm-hmm. Which is becoming an increasingly difficult argument for them as time goes on?
It's just going to be fascinating to see how that plays out. Pat, you were writing about this during the week, I know. You know, their partners, Simon Harris and Micheál Martin, up to today, but they're rivals too, as and from today. How is that going to manifest in terms of, let's look at how a leader's debate might play out, or in general, the campaign? It's a fine line that they have to tread.
Yeah, it really is. I think Gazan is right. That's going to be one of the fascinating aspects to watch of this general election campaign, how they manage that tension between partners in government, being partners in government and rivals for many of the same votes. And just as, you know, we will see transfers between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael candidates, we know that from the local and European elections. But we will also see them scrapping for, you know, final seats in lots of constituencies. I mean, I do think, though, that one thing to bear in mind is that, in a way, you know, this relentless focus on Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and their kind of status as sort of frenemies and, you know, simultaneously friends and rivals during this election campaign, in a way, that can kind of suit them because it keeps the focus on them. And we will be looking for the rows between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. And I feel sure that they will give us plenty of material in that respect. But, you know, there's other questions at the heart of this general election campaign as well. You know, the world has changed in the last week with the election of Donald Trump. And that must have an effect on this election campaign in one respect, at least, which is, you know, all these bumper corporation tax revenues that we've seen come in over the last number of years and which have, to an extent, insulated this government against the sort of cost of living political fallout that other governments have had to deal with. There's now a real threat to those more so than ever before. And I think one of the questions that would be front and center in this election campaign is what happens if you are in government and those corporation tax revenues start to disappear, what do you do? And I think that sort of stuff will play a big role as much as the, you know, the kind of party rivalries.
OK, well, listen, I want to talk about Sinn Féin, Alison, for a minute, because they will go into this campaign. Mary Lou McDonald has said it already. They're the only option, they say. Voters have a fairly straightforward choice. More of the same with the incumbents or, for the first time, a government led by Sinn Féin. It's hard to be the next big thing, though, for such a long period of time. Do you think there are victims of that?
Yeah, but it's even harder to be that when after the last couple of weeks they've had and the controversies and scandals that they've found themselves embroiled in, and to try and brush yourself down after that and get into a campaign. But that is what they will do. I mean, Simon Harris this morning in Budapest was saying to journalists, housing should not be about shouting numbers, I mean, during this campaign. And I mean, that he would say that, wouldn't he?
They're all doing that, aren't they?
Yeah. No, but I'm saying in terms of, you know, he doesn't want to be, the government is vulnerable on that. So he's saying that's not where he wants the debate to go. That is obviously something that Sinn Féin will be talking about. But everyone that I speak to, outside of Sinn Féin, the government parties and that, will say, look, Sinn Féin, 12% in the local elections in June or whatever, they're going to do much better than that. And it's interesting, I was watching Kathleen Function, the MEP, on Up Front with Katie Hannan on Monday night, where I thought she gave a very good, measured, strong performance. And I thought, you know, it has become, I suppose, Sinn Féin, we've seen them through this mist of controversy the last few weeks. If they manage to get it together for the campaign, there's no way we shouldn't underestimate them. But to go back to the point, the question you asked me at the start, they are facing up against that whole thing of being the next best thing forever. And this funny idea that came up during the local and European campaigns where people were nearly blaming them for the change hadn't happened, even though they haven't been in government, so they weren't capable of bringing change about. So I think they were, but I was reflecting on this last night. It's a very, given everything that's going on in the world, Pat mentioned Donald Trump, we see what's happening in Germany, all these other countries with, you know, with budgetary difficulties. And yes, what Donald Trump might do on corporation taxes. But right now, the three government parties are going into this campaign, like having doled out so much money. And being, even compared to a year ago and what was the strength of Sinn Féin then, it's a kind of an extraordinary position for them to be in. It's nearly, I was saying to somebody this morning from Fine Gael actually, you'd nearly be worried the prospects are looking so good for them right here and right now. And of course, you have to take a campaign into, you know, the last time it was pensions, something that will stick, or some slip in a debate which causes trouble for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. But as of right now, as of this moment, as the whistle is about to be blown, they're in a very good position.
But your Pat was writing about this yesterday, saying this 3 week period, what is it, 22 days, Pat? Everything happens in the 22 days, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the exit poll from the 2020 general election, which we ran in conjunction with yourselves and GCD, you look at one of the questions we asked was, when did people make up their minds how to vote? And bear in mind that these are, you know, an exit poll is polling people outside the polling station. So these are all people who have certainly voted. And half of all the voters said that they'd made up their minds over the course of the general election campaign. So, you know, there used to be a time in Ireland when Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael went into election campaigns, you know, guaranteed to get 80% of the vote, and the number of swing voters, we've been talking about swing states all week, but the number of swing voters whose votes were genuinely up for grabs over the course of the campaign was very small. Now it's enormous. And that's why recent election campaigns have tended to see a swing towards one party over the course of the campaign. Last time it was Sinn Féin, you know, Mary Lou McDonald, very skillfully rode that sort of a wave of a desire for change. And I think one of the questions about this campaign is, where does the wave go? You know, what are the issues that pop up? Alison mentioned the pensions being a massive issue right in the middle of the last campaign. Just before the last campaign, there was this controversy about commemorating the Black and Tans. And that set Fine Gael in particular off on a very poor start to the campaign. So, you know, Alison said absolutely right. As the election starts, you look at the polling strength of the government, you say they're in a very good position. They've just done this big giveaway budget. Sinn Féin have had a very difficult year, and it hasn't got any easier in recent weeks with all those controversies. But the campaign matters, and campaigns are inherently dynamic. They're unpredictable. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, I think, you know, if we were having this conversation a year ago, we would have said it's a virtual certainty that Sinn Féin would be in the next government. Yeah. Now people are saying it's a certainty that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael will be back. And it is certainly true that the path to government for Sinn Féin looks a lot more difficult now. But, you know, with the level of volatility that is baked into the Irish system right now, it's hard to make any cast-iron predictions.
For Fine Gael, it's the added risk of so much centering around Simon Harris, you know, where you have 18 Fine Gael TDs are retiring after 35.
Yes, yeah, so all of these unknowns. So yeah, there's an awful lot riding on him these circumstances.
You compare that, Fianna Fáil 37 TDs, including the Ceann Comhairle, and you have 32 incumbents. So it's this notion of so much centering on Simon Harris and the pace. I mean, you have to look at it on a human level. Look at the pace he has kept up over the last 6 months, and being able to do that in an almost frenzied manner is necessitated in a general election. That today alone, he'll be in the constituency of Budapest, will move into government buildings, then Dublin West, Dublin Midwest, then the match, and afterwards he's going to canvass in Dublin Northwest. So, I mean, you'd think, would they be hooking him up to, you know, some sort of a drip at night? Because he is, and you even his remarks this morning, listening to him on Morning Ireland, it's so much of it is going to be, can the Harris hop carry all of these new candidates?
Okay. Can we just imagine a scenario for a moment on the day after the election, or the day after that, Pat, where we have Sinn Féin, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael on in or around the same level of support, winning around the same level of seats. Now, in that scenario, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil can't ignore Sinn Féin again and only talk to each other, or can they?
Oh, yes, they can, I think. I think if you get that outcome, I think you will find that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, after an appreciable time, will be casting around for a third leg for the coalition stool, whether that is to be, you know, whether that is to be the Greens again or Labour or the Independents or some combination. of those. I think that that's what would happen. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, if that scenario that you outline comes to pass, I think for all the caveats about unpredictability that we mentioned a few minutes ago, I think what would happen is fairly predictable at that stage. And I think, you know, of course, there's an argument, you know, last time Sinn Féin got the greatest share of the votes and didn't end up in government. And a lot of their supporters were very annoyed about that. But if you think of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, where they're clearly different, distinct parties and will have their own offerings during the election campaign, but they're essentially part of the same sort of political force. And if they end up in the scenario that you outlined, twice as big as the political force represented by Sinn Féin, then
they can go alone or with another party. Just, you mentioned the Labour Party, and I thought this was really interesting in the Irish Times this morning in the reporting there that the Labour Party, Alison, is going to say in their manifesto that Help to Buy should be wound down by 2029. Now, who else is saying that? Sinn Féin.
Yeah.
And Fianna Fáil say that that is a red line for them, that Help to Buy has to stay. Interesting when you look at government formation and who's going to be able to cut a deal.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree with you on that, but I would also say that I think that, you know, it's early days. It certainly that would appear to be the Labour Party sending out a signal. But I think that for me, what's going to be very interesting, and those options afterwards, as you were just outlining there, the, you know, of who's the government, that the government is going to need a smaller party or independence. But I think the preference would be that if this is how it pans out, that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael would want a party rather than independence, and that they need, it's that you're looking at with the new Dáil and the increase in the number of TDs. That there's the numbers just go up all round, and that the Greens have definitely in the last couple of days, or even before the last few days, even as you mentioned earlier, Roderick O'Gorman calling the election, they're getting arsier, aren't they? You know, you can see that they're putting needle in, and I think they're right, because, and I think it took Roderick O'Gorman, it's taken him a while to kind of get his wings as leader, and also I think he will benefit even from some of the comments I heard that the deputy leader Roisin Garvey making during the week, in a way I think that strikes home with people. But they are really, really facing an uphill battle. It's one of the things that I hear other TDs talking about, government TDs, that in some cases people saying, we're happy with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael being back in, but, you know, not caring about the Greens, are actively not wanting the Greens. And that really does open the way more for Labour and maybe the Sock Dems. But you have a sense from the Fianna Fáil and the Fine Gael benches that they're not sure whether the Sock Dems are interested. They certainly feel they weren't interested the last time.
Labour and
again,
the Sock Dems.
This is all okay. ahead of a campaign, but the Greens are facing a really, really difficult battle in this
campaign. An awful
campaign.
Lot will happen in the next 22 days. Alison O'Connor and Pat Leahy, thank you very much. Well, we saw posters on our way in. Some of you did, listening as well. Frank says, Fine Gael posters are up in Dunleary. Will there be any fines issued? He wants to know. Frank says, talk about fast off the mark. We'd Fianna Fáil canvassers on the doorstep here outside Thurles yesterday. Well, I think people have been seeing canvassers for the last couple of weeks, if not months. And Deirdre says there's posters up already on lampposts in Limerick this morning. And she goes on to say, I can't wait for the next 3 weeks to be over. Do get in touch with us this morning. 0870 32 32 32 is our WhatsApp number.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.